I don't want to separate this time from what you've been doing. Lord, from everything you were doing in the discipleship class just only moments ago. Lord, but everything you were doing last night in Lovelock. Lord, but to limit even to that time would not be right. For we know that you are active. Your word is active. You're alive. You're moving. You continue. And so, Lord, we just look back in these past even 12 hours and see the amazing things that you've done, Lord, and so we come to praise you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just continue to do the work that, Lord, you've always been doing, but, Lord, that we've just been given glimpses to in these past few hours for some of us. And so, Lord, there is a dependence in some of our spirits that has already started. Lord, we are dependent on you to continue what you've started. Lord, we are rejoicing. Lord, some of us, Lord, went to bed just completely full of joy. Lord, woke up excited, Lord, as we get to see you continue in what you're doing. And so, Lord, we come to praise your name. We come to hear from you. And so, Lord, we start with confession. And so, Lord, we confess that, Lord, not simply that we just aren't worthy, for you have made us worthy in your Son, Jesus Christ, but, Lord Jesus, that we fall, we stumble, we stray. And so, Lord, I pray that as we, in this moment right now, we have settled our physical bodies, I pray that our spirits would be humbled to hear from you today. Lord, that we can be drawn closer, that we can be made more like your Son. And so, Father, we want you to continue in your work. Lord, I want to thank you that, Lord, you're big enough to work in each and every heart, each and every life. Lord, we don't have to pray for this person or pray for this person, but Lord, we are all included in your family. And so we want to thank you that you're mighty, that you're powerful. And so, Lord, we praise you. Help us to worship you like you deserve. In your name, for your glory, amen.
Amen.
All right, church, now you can have a seat. Yeah, give the shouts to Jesus, right? All right, just a couple of things. Hey, we've got this thing is just a mess. Just bear with me. Hey, if you're a visitor here, if you're a guest here, we want to just thank you for being here. We want to make sure that we have these gift bags out, welcome bags for you adults. There's some good stuff in here. Just make sure you pick the right bag because there's Milky Ways in some of them. There's M&Ms in others, and there's some Sour Punch Kids in some of them. But there's just some stuff. It's just something we simply want to just say thank you for coming and visiting. But what's most important is that as we're going through 1 Corinthians, we have these Bible journals or these scripture journals that have the scripture of 1 Corinthians, and it also has a place for you to take notes. So if you're a guest here and you haven't got your bag yet, I want you to be able to follow along in this. And so please, if you need to get a bag, go up and get a bag, all right? They're in the entryway. If you want to just put up your hands, we'll have a deacon just go and get you a bag or something like that, because we want you to, well, these are for adults. Kids, just, you know, persuade your parent that they don't need the candy. It's more for your age appropriate, okay? So something along those lines. But if you need a bag, just please make sure you get one of those so that you can, we just want to say welcome and thank you. Hey, tomorrow, yes. You need one? Okay. Derek, can you go grab a couple? Anybody else? You have been here for years. If she needs a scripture journal, well, since we know her, go ahead and give her one, too. But, hey, Financial Peace University starts tomorrow. And so those of you who have signed up, it'll start tomorrow. You've already signed up. You know the gig, all that kind of stuff. For those of you who are interested in taking this class, there's a bulletin on the bulletin board. For the financial piece, there's a way to log in, there's a way to get an account, there's a way to do all of that. If you're struggling, and you say, hey, listen, I need to know how to manage my money. I need to know how to honor God with it. I need to do this, but I can't afford the $79. Come and talk to me. We don't want you to miss out on this opportunity for what God is calling you to in stewardship with your finances. And so please come and talk to me, and we'll make sure that you get signed up. If you're a couple and you're taking the class together, you only need one membership, okay? You only need one membership, but please sign up. Child care is available if needed. And so make sure that you're here tomorrow for that. It's one of the biggest ways that people do not honor God is with their finances. And I'm not just playing pastor here and being like, hey, make sure you give. That's not what I'm saying. I mean honoring God with your finances throughout your whole life, okay? And so there's so much to it. How many of you struggled with finances before? Yeah. How many of you said, okay, we're going to eat or we're going to pay the electric bill, right? I mean, those types of things. It's something that's common to all of us. And so, really, this is a really good class. We've already offered it once. Some people have gone through it, and it has changed. It has helped them to make the changes that they needed to change. Really good class. Also, join us Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Join us someday. We are praying. We are studying the Bible. We are drawing closer to God and closer together. And so, hey, if you're like, hey, I just need to be with God's people, show up sometime around 6:30, okay? Show up during the week about 6:30. There'll be people here worshiping God in some way. But hey, be friendly. Invite, encourage, just show up. Don't be afraid. All right? That's pretty much all I want to go with. Right now, you'll get some testimony about Lovelock and stuff today, so we won't have a testimony like we had.
Okay.
I'll share that in our sermon today. So let's stand up, and let's really just worship the Lord, okay? All right.
Amen. Luke 11:1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say,
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we fall. heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory!
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God with your lips.
May it be a sweet. Children dismissed yet?
Yes.
Yes. You may be seated and children are dismissed.
Children, so that means fifth grade and under.
Fifth grade and under.
Yeah. Middle schoolers, you've been dying to grow up, you know, so you got to sit here in service. We're going to celebrate communion today, and so there's a couple things that I want to do, but I want to give everybody dropping their kid off. I want to give them a time. I want to give them a time to be able to come back before we say this next part. So, if you haven't, say hello to your neighbor. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I love to see your smiling faces. Hey, I want to say this. Is anybody else coming? Brandon, is there anybody else still making their way this way? Okay. All right. Well, they're coming in the other door. Like, I mean, Brandon, are you charging a fee on that side or something? Because... I want to do a couple of things. Like, man, wasn't that a good song? I apologize, Deb, for trying to lead you instead, because, you know, that whole, like, I was just so excited to worship. The next line just had to come out, right? I mean, and so, like, there's no patience in here, right? And so, I mean, in here, not here, okay? But I heard some of you. Anyway, okay. We're going to take communion today, so I want to start with something very important. So I'm going to ask everybody we're going to take a moment here. We're going to take a moment here, and I want everybody just to bow your head for just a second. And I want you to just be preparing your heart. As we've been preparing through singing of praises and singing, listen, there's a lot of stuff. Like, there's something I was doing over in my seat over there. Like, I just heard some stuff, you know, and it's just one of those things that in my flesh I think I'm supposed to retaliate or at least defend myself or defend the church or defend, you know, my actions or anything along those lines. And the Lord's like, here's the thing, like, man, is this worship? Or are you stuck on your flesh? And so it's just one of those things for me. So before we take communion, before we just need to keep letting God mold us and use us and get us ready. And so the Lord put something on my heart this morning that with every head bowed, this is not for other people to be watching. We had an amazing worship night last Sunday night. And many people, yeah, praise the Lord for that, but many people responded to God's invitation. And so for those of you who responded to God's invitation, you responded. He called you, you responded. And whatever it looked like, whether it was coming forward or you just responded, maybe you stayed right in your seat. I don't want anybody looking, but I want you to put your hands up. I want you to say, yes, I responded. And keep your hands up for a minute. So you responded last Sunday night. Let me see. I just want to ask, has the Lord continued that work through this week? Is he calling you to himself in a deeper way? Is he continuing to move? Because that's why we need to praise. And so if you're here today and you responded on Sunday night, but you've either not felt his presence or you've left his presence or something along those lines, then as your hands are up, I just want you to simply just to pray in yourself and just say, Lord, would you just draw me back to that? Forgive me for not staying in your presence. Forgive me for not staying. But Lord, would you just continue to draw me back? Would you pull me back into that? And for those of you who say, man, I didn't respond, but I know that I should have, or something, just ask for the same thing. Father, we do come this morning, Lord. We praise you that you're working, and Lord, we praise you for calling. And Lord, as you're calling and as you're moving, we just want to continue to see you moving and continue to see you being glorified in this. And so, Lord, we not only welcome you, Lord, we do pray that our praises are sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Lord, we pray that we would actually be surrendered to you in this time. And so speak to us, Lord Jesus. Have your way. We thank you and we praise you in your name. Amen. All right, what's going on now, Steve? But Steve fixed the TV, so of course we had to have a different technical difficulty. I think the Lord's just growing him in his relationship, right? Don't you see? The TV ain't blinking anymore. Here's the thing. We are a praying church. On Tuesdays we pray. We've been praying for the TV. Believe it or not, God said bring everything to him. Here's the thing. We're going to talk today. We're going to talk today about really not just the wisdom of God. Listen, the wisdom, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 today. We're going to, Lord willing, we're going to finish chapter 2 today and just hit a few points, four or five points. But wisdom has kind of been the theme. And so we'll remember from earlier from in chapter 1 that Christ became our wisdom. And so we had a good talk in the van last night about wisdom. Alan was studying in Proverbs and about wisdom and how we have to, God is wisdom, right? And Christ became our wisdom. And so when we ask for wisdom or we need wisdom or wisdom needs to be imparted to us, we got to go to God and ask for it. And so wisdom is one of the big themes here in this portion of 1 Corinthians. But today it's about, and there's a bunch of sermons in this, but today it's about the Holy Spirit's ministry. Okay, now, in 1 Corinthians, we're going to get a bunch of that. We're going to get a bunch of the Holy Spirit's giftings and all kinds of stuff as we continue. But in this part of chapter 2, this is the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to impart this wisdom. And so we'll get to that, and there's a difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. And we can all say amen to that, and we can say that. But as we dig a little deeper into this, we're really going to dig into the profound wisdom of God as he's revealed it here in 1 Corinthians in this portion of chapter 2. Paul reminds us that the world's wisdom or man's wisdom pales in comparison to God's wisdom or the divine wisdom that God actually imparts to his people. One of the things in our discipleship class, or at least in the Next Steps class, because I wasn't in the other class, I can only be in one place at one time, we were discussing about how God is able. How many of you have prayed this morning already? How many of you prayed while we were here in church together? Here's the one of the beautiful things about God is that, listen, he's able, since he's not bound by time, he is able to take every one of those prayers and actually treat them with the concern, with an individual concern for each and every one of us, right? And so we were talking about how, like, there was some conversation that came up, like, I don't pray for myself. And the question is, why not? Because a couple of things. We seem to limit God in his power or his ability or in his wisdom or in something along those lines. Well, we're getting ready to understand or to read and hopefully understand, that God is greater, right? God is greater. God continues to work through this theme. In Thursdays, we're in Isaiah, and we, holy, holy, holy. This just keeps coming up, right? Holy, holy, holy. It's said three times, and it's only stated this way twice in the Bible, speaking of God, because God is the only one who is holy, holy, holy. And what it means is that God is so far above and set apart. When we think of wisdom, when we think of strength, when we think of all of these things, its origin is in God. Like, that's not even, like, we can't even keep God bound to those certain things as we can imagine it. Like, we can't even fathom what strength is, what wisdom is, what power, what all of these things are, because they all find their origin in God. So we need to go to God to have this imparted to us, to have any understanding. And so he uses the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about, to minister to us because of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. That'll be the end of the chapter. And we're going to explore and discover how we can apply this wisdom to our lives, right? And know that we have it, that we're receiving it. We are in the ESV because that's what your books came in. All right? All right? But it'll be ESV on the screen as well. So if you'll join me, if you'll stand in the reading of God's Word. First Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father, we come before you today. Lord, I just want to praise you and I want to thank you again. Lord, and so give us understanding. Lord, help us to leave this place, Lord, with a renewed mind. Lord, with the mind of Christ. Help us to just enjoy you, to walk in that glory. And so we want to thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. Please move. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. So there's so much here. There's so much here. We're just going to kind of start this. So he says, yet among. So he's bringing, building off the earlier statement that he's been making, is that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You remember that Paul, he says, listen, I came to you knowing nothing or deciding, making my mindset on the fact that I was just going to preach to you Christ and him crucified. I wasn't going to preach any worldly wisdom. I wasn't going to take, you know, the happenings of the world and just try to apply them to where you're at now. No, what he said is I came to preach Jesus and him crucified. I came to preach the good news, the whole counsel of God. And so he said, because here's the truth. Your faith, your life needs to be built on, established by, but continue to be built on the gospel, the truth of the Bible, not looking to the world for answer, not looking to any of that. He says, no. He wants your faith to rest in the power of God. And so he goes on to share with us and to share with the Corinthian church what that power is. And I should say who that power is, because that power is a person. And so we're gonna talk about a few things here, but he addresses somebody here. There's almost this question. He says, "Yet among the mature." Now let's just start with this. I don't know about you. In certain areas of my life, I'm not all that mature, okay? Some of you will contest to this, right? Just don't look up here. Thankfully, it has nothing to do with age, right? But he's talking about something different. And so what naturally happens is you read the word, you're like, okay, well, who's the mature? Because he's talking about this church. He's talking about this church who was experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit working in all of these different ways. And so he's like, well, they must be mature, right? Because the Holy Spirit's working inside the church. No. This is an actual call for us to be insightful and ask the question, well, am I mature? Because even though the Holy Spirit is working in this church in this way, in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, but listen, you're not mature. He says, you're a bunch of spiritual babies who I have to feed milk. And so you're like, well, wait a second. So what's he doing? Well, he's calling us to examine. Because he says, this truth, these truths, this wisdom that they're imparting, now who's the we is very, we'll talk about that. This wisdom that's imparted, it can only be imparted to the mature. Now, the wisdom goes out. You'll remember in the description that Jesus talks about sowing the seed, right? The seed being the word of God, not just simply the gospel, but the seed is the word of God. And so it goes to everybody. How many of you have heard at least one sermon? You've all heard at least 4 minutes of one, okay? So it goes out to everybody, but how many of you can remember every single sermon, right? Or the truths of all of the sermons? Right, there's a certain time where sometimes we're just not spiritually mature enough to understand what God is trying to say to us. Sometimes we just don't simply pay attention. And so he's talking about maturity is like, this is a call to be like, well, wait a second. Am I mature? And so he says this wisdom that we impart. So the we is like, is he talking about himself and the person who's writing this or dictating this or something along that? No, what he's saying is that he is a teacher of God's word empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is doing the teaching. He's just doing the teaching through Paul. And so when he says this wisdom that we impart, Paul's not saying like, listen, all this wisdom comes from me. He's like, I'm such a good teacher. Man, I'm so smart. You guys really need to learn from me. No. He changes from the I's. He changes from the me. He changes from the you. And he says, we. And so what he's doing is he's bringing the truth that the power of God is who's doing the teaching through Paul. He's just being a willing servant here. And so the we is, Paul is not saying I do this on my own. In fact, what he's saying is I could not do this on my own. You ever hear somebody try to bring you good godly truth and you know they're just coming from their flesh? Let me ask you, have you ever witnessed like that? Have you ever tried to convince somebody of the change they need to make in your life and it came straight from your flesh and you know that the Spirit of God was not involved? And you're like, how could he not be involved? It was his word. It's because you went for your glory. Paul is sitting here saying, he's like, listen, we teach, I'm just being a willing servant. And we see that as he continues to build this. Because he talks about this wisdom. It's not a wisdom of this age. And so let's identify this wisdom, what it's not. First of all, it's not of this age, meaning of this time. And so Paul writes, you know, a couple thousand years ago, and so the age hasn't changed. Listen, the wisdom of God is not of this age. How many of you look at the world or you read the paper or you hear all this garbage or any of this stuff? Some of you are just like, I just stay away from that stuff. Because that is the wisdom of this age. How many of you look and you're like, man, I don't know how we got here. Right? Because it's the sign of the times or the age of the times. How did we get here? Well, here, just look around. I'm not saying blame your neighbor. I'm just saying look around. There's a different illustration here. Look around. What do you see in here? People. You're supposed to say, I see saints. But, you know, we'll save the judgy for later. Okay. Here's the thing. Right. You see people. The problem is we, apart from Christ, are the same. And so the results will always be the same. When you go through the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews continues to say, listen, Jesus is this, and Jesus is this, and Jesus is this. He's stronger, he's better, he's all of these things, because guess what? Everything we do leads to death and futility. It's only in Christ is there actual victory. And so whenever we, anybody, here's the thing. I got a tag this year, so I'm pretty excited. Anybody ever donate to the Department of Land Management? And you give this dollar or whatever because they're going to, listen, no, just listen, I'm not knocking them. This is just a perfect example of how we mess things up. And so you, because they're going to restore this land, and they're going to restore this land, and they're going to make all these herds, and they're going to just make all these hunting opportunities, they're going to do all this stuff, and the animals are going to just reproduce, and it's just everybody's going to get to hunt, and they, you know, all these promises that we think, right? And what happens? We see depredation. We see the destruction. We see all kinds of things, because every time man starts to do something, we ruin something else. Right? How many species have died because of things we've tried to take care of? That's the point. Because we go and we try to take what God has created and what God has designed, and we try to use our own wisdom or the wisdom of this age to make it better or to make it function. And we do that in our own strength. So God's wisdom is not of this age. It is not of man. And so what else is it not? He says it's not of this age. It's not of the rulers of this age, right? So it's not of man who's, quote unquote, in charge of this age. Or how about this? It's not perishing. He makes these three things that it's not. So it's not of this age, it's not of the rulers, but it's also of not of those who pass away, meaning that God's wisdom is a few things. First of all, we need to look at God's wisdom is eternal. Listen, the wisdom of God is eternal. It will never change. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and when? Tomorrow. And so his wisdom also does not change. And so when he talks about the mature, we impart this wisdom to the mature. You're like, okay, what makes me mature? Well, the first step of being mature is knowing that you're immature. Just, I'm sorry. You're not God. His wisdom is eternal. The things that you do, if you do anything that has a lasting effect, it'll be something that the Spirit of God does through you. Maybe you've been encouraged to leave a legacy. Right? Have you heard that? Oh, man, I just want to leave a legacy. If your legacy is not that your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and, like, there's this long line of Christianity, there's this long line of serving God, then you're not leaving a legacy. You're leaving worldly riches that will pass away. Listen, to encourage people to follow God, to seek his wisdom, to be made wise by him, that's a legacy. That's a legacy. And so what is it? It's eternal. The next thing is it's secret or it's hidden. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom which God decreed. And so this next part is that it's secret, that it's hidden. Well, who's it hidden from? It's hidden from everybody who, we're going to get to this, who is unspiritual. Everybody who continues to live in the flesh, this wisdom is hidden. Why do you think the world operates the way it does? And it doesn't operate according to God. Because it's trying to be God. It's trying to establish things and control things that only God can. And so since the world, since the rulers of this age, since those that are perishing don't know him, since they are not mature, this is what's happening. It is secret and hidden from them. And he gives us this truth later on. If they would have known this, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. And so you say, okay, well, then that means it was God's plan. Well, here's the thing. You know how sometimes God just already knows who you are? Anybody have a doubt that God knows what's going on in your mind right now or what's going on in your heart? Anybody doubt that? Anybody afraid of that? Here's the truth. God already knows. And so God says, listen, if they would have had this secret wisdom, if they would have known that, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. You know why? Because they would have thought, again, going back to man, trying to control the outcome. They wouldn't have crucified Jesus, so he wouldn't have died on the cross for our sins. The reason it was secret and it was hidden until Jesus actually rose from the grave was because they would have never allowed it to happen. They would have done everything they could have to not crucify him. They would have been walking around him, like making this circle around him the whole time. If they would have known that Jesus was the wisdom, if they would have known that Jesus was salvation, if they would have known that Jesus was the atonement, they would have never let anything happen to him. But God kept it secret. God kept it hidden so that he could be the atonement for us. How about this? God decreed it before the ages. This goes back, and you say, well, that's still eternal. Yeah, but here's the thing. Not only is it eternal, but it was predestined. It was predetermined. It was pre-planned. God knew exactly how to keep it hidden, how to keep it a secret, how to keep it. God knows what he's doing. God made these plans before you ever came to be. He made these plans before he created everything else. You see, when we look at God, when we look up to God, we need to remember, we need to understand that this earth is here before you, right? But it wasn't here before God. And so when God made this earth, when God made you, when he created all of these things, he had a plan. He had decreed it from before the age, whatever age you're in. God had already decreed it. He planned it already. And so it leads us to say, okay, listen, that is a wisdom that I really cannot grasp. That is a wisdom that has to be imparted to me. And here's what he said. God had decreed this before the ages for our glory. Now this hour comes back to the believers. Now Christ did all of this. God had planned all of this for our glory. Now I don't know what's going on in your brain when I think about, you know, what's your glory? When you think about your glory, how about this statement? Think about your glory days. What would you think of? Or what would the world think of? Most of the people think, oh man, well these are the times when I what? Enjoyed life the most, or when I think I had the most, or when I was the most influential, or when I was this. And so we look to our glory, and guess what? Every time we look to our glory always looks to our accomplishments in the flesh. Man, my glory days were this, right? Man, I had 22-inch arms. I had this, and it's all something of the flesh. It's all something we can accomplish. And God says, listen, that is not your glory. What is your glory? It is the wisdom of God. It's that, guess what? Even though all of your glory and all of your flesh and all of this stuff, Christ still saved you. God knew that you needed a Savior, and God knew that as you were running around here like a knucklehead, he was still going to die for you. Listen, we're glorified in the fact that, listen, although I lived that way, although I thought that that was my glory, God saved me and put me on a different plan, put me on a different purpose. He made me a new creation. And so my glory is that, man, I've been saved. I've been made new. Right? Like this whole new creation. We're remodeling the kitchen, right? And when I say we, Jasmine is an innocent bystander in this. She didn't know it was coming. And so, you know, it's like, you know, the kitchen's just kind of old and it's just kind of looking a little dingy and just all this kind of stuff. And so, you know, let's just bring it up to a new glory. And so we just start changing all these things. And so there's new cabinets, and there's new paint, and there's new lights, and there's all these things. Well, it's in the process, okay? So there's in the process, there's all these new things that we're changing to make it beautiful and to make it this, that, and the other. And so we're like, man, this kitchen is going to be beautiful. See, that's the work God does in us. He takes this old, dingy, dirty, nasty, and he makes it a new creation. He beautifies it. You know what? So our glory is that we've been made into a new creation. Now, here's the deal. This new creation, this glory, does not glorify itself. It does not revel in the glory like, hey, look at me. I'm so wonderful now. No, no, no. The glory in the new creation says, man, look what Jesus did. Look what Jesus did with me. That song, Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed what? Saved by what? Man. Redeemed. So our glory is that this wisdom, and remember, go back to chapter 1, this wisdom is Christ. This wisdom, our glory, is Christ in us. Is that we're this new creation. And it was hidden for a time. You know, how many of you knew about Jesus before you were actually saved? Man, yeah. How many of you were raised in a Christian family? How many of you went to church? How many of you, we got VBS coming up, right? How many of you remember going to VBS as a kid, right? And you would even as a kid say you love Jesus, right? How many of you realized you weren't saved at some point? Yeah. And God had hidden the power and hidden the truth of the gospel. Listen, when you were a kid, you received it, you enjoyed it, you worshiped God, all that kind of stuff. But as life started to come, guess what? That started to be hidden from you until it wasn't, until it was actually revealed at that moment. And the wisdom of God being Christ crucified for you, right, just impacted you, changed you. And you saw, as Paul said, you know, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's what? The power of salvation to all who would believe. And it was no longer hidden. It was no longer secret. And maybe for the first time in your life, you could actually read the Bible and you could actually pray and know that God heard you and know that you had understanding. And so the truth of God was hidden until it wasn't. Listen, that was in God's timing. I don't know about you. How many of you are like, man, I wish I would have just come to the Lord sooner? Yeah, of course. Here's the truth, though. I thought I was. And I tell you, there was a certain amount that kept me from certain things. That kept me from certain things, but the truth that I wasn't was hidden until I needed it, until I was desperate, until it was actually going to be impactful to me. We had a conversation, you know, we talk about, one of the reasons I brought up making a decision on worship night, one of the conversations we had is, you know, people have been baptized, and then we've seen some people getting baptized, and then we don't see them in the church anymore, right? Sorry, this thing is driving me crazy. And we're like, well, what happened? What happened? Was it not real? Was it this? And so we start asking these questions. We start looking at all these things. And then did we as a church not do enough? Did we not invite them to discipleship? Did we not disciple them? Did we not encourage them? And as you look back, you're like, no, it's none of that stuff. It's none of that stuff. Listen, for whatever reason, they're running from the Lord. They're running from whatever he's doing next in their life. For whatever he's calling them to, for whatever is taking this, because here's the truth. They don't want what's next. Because, listen, the truth isn't always easy. What we have here is what our glory is, and here's our glory. Our glory obviously has to have its origin in Jesus. He says, if the rulers of this age would have understood, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, right? And so glory, our glory, must find its origin in Jesus, in the Lord. And this is what he says, as it's written. And so he's quoting from Isaiah 64 and 65, and he says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this is part of our glory. This is what we get when we come to Christ. We get blessings of God now and future, right? Like salvation, like, woo, there's an amazing blessing, right? We've been saved. In fact, as we were talking about, you know, a lot of people don't pray for themselves because they're like, man, I've been saved. I don't need anything else. Well, that's not true. God desires to continue to bless us. And so this is not health and wealth. Listen, this is not health and wealth. Don't get that idea of blessing out of your mind. Because there's a lot of people who have a way better relationship with Christ than a lot of Americans who have all this money and this financial, quote-unquote, blessing. Because here's the truth. The blessings are of God. The blessings of God are from God, given to you. And he searches and he knows. We're going to talk about the searching. He searches and he knows exactly what you need, exactly what a blessing is for you. And so he reveals this, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined. The blessings that God has for us, we can't even fathom or imagine. How many of you thought that confessing your sins would be a blessing? Right? How many of you are like, man, I am not, like, listen, I know I was a guilty party, but I am not going to go to the police station and be like, hey, guess what? There's this thing, and I was guilty. How many of you got some of that stuff where you're like, man, I would not walk into the police department even years later and say that I did this? How many of you? Just put it up here. Yeah, sinners. But what if, here's the truth, what if walking into that police department actually set you free? What if actually confessing to the authorities would actually set you free? And not just set you free, but be a blessing. We sing songs all the time, right? These chains are broken, like all this, you know, I've been set free, all these types of things. How were you set free? Well, the first blessing was that you were able to come to Christ. You were able to confess your sins. Right? Who would have imagined? Who would have imagined? You can't imagine that. You can't picture that. Or how about this? How about doing for others, right? Any of you selfish? You're like, I'd rather get a Christmas gift than give one. Oh, now we're all quiet. And we look to the whole, like, how many of you, when you do for others, when you actually sacrifice of yourself to make sure somebody else has, that you're like, well, that's a blessing. You see, we don't even imagine that because we're so stuck in the flesh. Or how about this, being able to suffer. We're like, whoa, that's not a blessing. No, that is a blessing. In fact, if you've come to Christ, then suffering is part of it. Suffering is how, listen, suffering is how he is glorified through you. Man, you just keep reading in the Bible and you'll see that that's the truth. But there's a stipulation. It's for those who love him. Here's the other part. It's only for those who love him. It's not for everybody. Everybody wants to be like, oh, God loves all of us and this, that, and the other. Well, yeah. I mean, he sent his son. Jesus went to a cross. Yeah, he absolutely loves everybody. He made statements like this, all who will come, right? I will not turn away. But here's what he says is all who love him. Now, we've taken that way overboard. We've made statements like, oh, I love Jesus. And Jesus makes statements back and he says, if you love me, then why don't you do what I say? And here's the truth. Oh, I love you, Jesus, but I'm not obedient to you. Jesus says, you don't love me. You love yourself. The blessings that God has for us, here's the thing. Is it for us? Because according to his word, it's for those who love him. And so you need to check and say, okay, do I love him? Am I obedient to his commands? I want God to bless me, but I don't want to be obedient to what he calls me to. I don't want to obey what he says. Why do you think we started this morning with like, hey, listen, how many of you are being obedient to what he called you to just on worship night? No, but he uses his spirit. His revealing power is the Holy Spirit. Verses 10 and 11, these things God has revealed. Don't you praise God just because he has revealed things to us? How about the fact that he's revealed that we are a sinner? Listen, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now here's some beauty. God has revealed and is revealing himself and his wisdom and these things. But it's through the Spirit. It's not through the things you can conjure up. The Holy Spirit of God takes the truth of God or the Word of God and applies it to the people of God. The people of God are those who love him, those who are obedient to his commands, those who have given their lives to him. And he takes his Word and he applies it and he makes truth. And so often we try to take God's word and we try to make it apply to our life, and it's the Holy Spirit who makes it apply to our life. Listen, anybody ever search anything on Google? I love Google. I don't know how accurate it always is, but man, you type in anything. You type in anything and you'll find some stuff. I'm not going to say it's truth. Only the Spirit of God can actually, like, mediate or take what's really on your heart and apply what God wants you to know, what God wants you to understand, how God wants you to live. Only the Spirit of God can actually take that and apply it to you. You could Google all kinds of things. You know what? You can even type in, what does God want me to do in Google, and it'll bring something up. And it'll bring up a statement. It might even bring up a scripture. But only the Spirit of God can take that scripture and actually reveal it to you, actually apply it to you. It doesn't matter how you search and how you, if it's not the Spirit of God taking the truth of God to you and revealing it to you, you will be none the wiser, you will be no closer. But I want you to know this is not some work in the past. This is a work that he continues to do. Listen, if you understand that you're a sinner, that is the Spirit of God taking the truth of God and revealing it to you. But I want you to know it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit, he continues to work because he knows the truth, and he can plunge the depths of God. How many of you are like, man, I just want to know the will of God. I just want to know God closer or better, or I want more of his power or any of those types of things, right? You want that, and you desire that. Well, you have to go to the Spirit and ask him. Last night in Lovelock, I got to share this. Last night in Lovelock, there's the Lord was just like, here's the deal. We're going to do something different, right? And so we worshiped. We sang the songs and we worship. And after that, we just took some time and we just prayed before we even. And the Spirit had put on my heart, hey, go find some clay. Here's the thing. I was a youth guy for a long time, so object lessons are always still impactful to me. And as I'm looking for clay, I'm like, well, this is like something I do with teenagers or something, right? Like, this is one of those things. And he just kept, you go find some clay. And so I asked Angel, I was like, hey, in the kids' room, she's like, I don't think there's any clay in there. And I'm like, man, there's no clay. So I start looking, and they're worshiping the last songs, and I find some clay. I had to move some stuff, and I had to open this drawer, and it's in the back of this drawer, and it says oven clay. And I'm like, what is oven? Whatever, it says clay. So I grab a hold of it, and I'm like, man, what? Is it moldable? Is it moldable? And so I take it out, and I was like, man, some of this is dry, and some of this is, and so And so I take it out, and so there's this stack of napkins on the table because I'm like, okay, as I was playing with the clay, you know, it gets kind of, so I was like, okay, I'll put each piece on a napkin. And so I lay all these napkins out of this stack, and then I tear some paper towels because the napkins aren't enough, and I make this count. And I make this count, and so I just start cutting the clay, and it was just a general count. And so I start cutting this clay, and I break it in half, and I just start putting it in all these napkins. And it was exactly enough clay. I didn't get a piece, but listen, there's a reason I didn't get a piece. Everybody, including the children, because we didn't send the children off because this was a lesson for everybody. And so we take all the clay and everybody gets some clay in this napkin. I say, okay, so we circle up the chairs. Right there in the sanctuary, we just take the chairs and we just circle up the chairs. And I said, everybody has to sit next to somebody. Right? There's no, like, I want this gap, I want that. No, no, no. And so we circle up. And so I say, here's the thing. We're going to pray, and I want you to pray. And I want you to start working with that clay and ask the Lord just to show you. Right, just to show you something, just to speak to you. And just we were just inviting the Holy Spirit through this object lesson to just show and just show us something and just move. And so, you know, and so he had started on me when I was cutting the clay. I started molding some of the clay, and he just started showing me just some stuff about being moldable and about how I can get stuck and rigid and dry and all these types of things and how I need to be molded and I need to be worked and this. And he was showing me all this stuff. And so, like, I got to start and I got to lead. And then as we start talking, people are sharing, like, what God is showing them. And they're clay, you know. And so there's these little clay things. And we had all kinds of good stuff. And somebody shares about how they're angry. And how not only, what's that? Huh? Go ahead. Quiet. No, go ahead. Oh, I'm quiet. Oh, I'm quiet. Okay. So somebody's sharing. I was like, wait, no, this is worth it. Okay. So somebody shares that anger, not that they're just angry. Listen, this is, how many of you have been angry? Wow, angry people. How many were angry today? Okay, you've been angry. Let me ask you this. Does anger control your actions and your thoughts continually? So somebody shares, like, listen, I have an anger problem. And they talk about how anger, listen, able to personify this anger actually operating in their life, making their life operate through anger, and shares about this anger, like, this is a deep, I'm telling you, this is demonic, okay? Just so you know. And the guy's not walking around like, no. Like, you'd think, you know, you think demonic, and you think he's got horns poking out of his head or something, like, and it's nothing like that. And so he shares. And he talks about being basically just angry and controlled by this anger and all this kind of stuff. And so as we keep going, people are sharing, right? And finally, somebody else who comes to church just once in a while, she makes this statement. She says, hey, listen, I have this imagination. She says, this is how she starts. I have this imagination. She says, and so this is going to seem weird. And some of us already know that the Spirit is working, so some of us are like, hey, yeah, just come on, I want to hear this, right? Like, so I love weird stuff because God really works in weird stuff. It's really cool. And so she's like, it's going to seem really weird, but I'm just going to share. She says, okay, so right here, and I couldn't see, you know. She says, this is a man. And she says, and then this is another man, and then this is another man. There's three men here. She says, but this man is a bad man, and this man's arms are wrapped around this other man. So she has, this is what she made with her clay, and she shares this story. And she says, and so when I hear you talking about the anger, she says, this is that bad man. She says, and I just have these chills going up. Because the Holy Spirit of God was revealing to her and to him and to all of us all through this about what was taking place. And so I got to ask some questions. I was like, hey, how much time do you guys spend together? And they look at each other like, never. And it was just one of those things, just reaffirming how the Holy Spirit continues to just reveal things that maybe if we would have just been stuck in the ordinary, just stuck in the regular, we would never got to be a part of. But because we were obedient and we let the Holy Spirit do his work, we let him do his job, he started to reveal things. And there's more to come from it. I truly believe that. And there was more. Like, I could share more, but it's 12:12. I can share more. I can share how the Spirit was speaking to other people and showing other people things at the same time for other people. To where the Spirit of God was just working and revealing things. And some of you think like, oh, this is too Pentecostal for us. Well, here's the deal. You're in a Baptist church, okay? Not only do we believe that God still moves, we expect him to. And so we need to be the kind of church that rejoices when he does. And so he's still revealing. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal something like that. She wasn't sitting there making that thing. As soon as he started anger, she starts making this thing. No. Because the prayer time was before anybody shared. And so the thing that she had made was made before he shared anything about being in bondage of anger. Only the Holy Spirit can take the truths, the depths, the deep truths of God and reveal them to us. But he does. Many of you are like, man, I don't hear God. I don't hear. Maybe some of you don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're not actually looking for him to reveal something because you want it to be the same way it always has been. And you want it to be, church should go like this and go like this and go like this and go like this. Guess what? The Jews did that. The truth of the gospel got taken from them and given to the church to share. We need to be dependent upon the Spirit of God to move. We need to expect it. And we need to share it. And we need to rejoice when he does. Listen, that's how he moves. Paul says, these things have been revealed to you through the Spirit. It's only through the Spirit of God. And so we need to welcome him. We need to ask him to show. We need to ask him, make him active in our lives. Some of you have come to Christ through the gospel, and so you've been saved, but you're not letting the Spirit operate or function. You're sitting back and you think, okay, well, I'm saved. What's next? Well, what's next is to let the Spirit just control your life. When he talks about being obedient to him, it's about hearing the voice of the Spirit. It's about hearing his voice. Letting the fruit, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Some of you, like, okay, I'm saved, but you're still jerks. I got to say it like this. You have no love. You understand that God loved you, but you're not giving that love to other people because you're still esteeming yourself somewhere else. Or you think you've been wronged. Go read 1 Peter. He says, here's the thing. God is glorified when you suffer for Christ. Let them insult you. Listen, I had to deal with some stuff where I heard about people insulting the church. Man, that strikes me at the heart, and I get angry, and God says, guess what? I just showed you in my word that you suffer right. You let them talk about you. You let them talk about the church. They can't defeat me. They can't defeat my church. They can't defeat my spirit. Suffer it. Let him work in you. Let him work in you. Let the Spirit of God work in you. If you have never felt his presence, ask him today. And you will be able to suffer for Christ. When the anger comes up, you're like, oh, that's just not right. God says, listen, that's not against you. That's against me. And then guess what else he brings to mind? Remember when you used to do that? Remember when you sat in service and you went and you talked about that pastor because he said something you didn't agree with? And you went and you talked about him or you talked about his church? Or how the people in that church didn't treat you like this and you think it's all about you? It ain't about us, guys. It's about him. And the point of wisdom is that Christ suffered. That's the wisdom. You know why he suffered? To make a wretch his treasure. Now that's a blessing. And it manifests itself in all kinds of other blessings. Only through the Holy Spirit. Quit living in your strength. Quit living in what you have. Listen, that's the mind of man. That's the difference between divine wisdom and human wisdom. The Holy Spirit takes weird things and shows us the truth. Through the Spirit of God, listen, we can function. Well, I got to tell you this. We can operate and function as a church just fine without the Holy Spirit. Just listen. Not as a proper church, but as a quote-unquote church without the Holy Spirit. We can put some good business plans together. We can put some good outreach plans together, and we can get this building full. We can do all kinds of stuff, and the Spirit of God not be present. Man, we could put on a worship night every single Sunday, and the Spirit of God not be present. And say, oh, well, we're singing the songs, and we've got all these people in here, and all these people are hooting and hollering, this, that, and the other, and the Spirit of God not be active in any of it. It happens all the time. Or we can be led by the Spirit. And we can be moved by the Spirit. And we can be empowered by the Spirit. And God will be glorified. And that's what he calls us to do. And so we need to seek and we need to ask. Paul says, verse 13, and we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, again, but taught by the Spirit. The Spirit's the only one who can interpret spiritual truths. But again, here's the stipulation to those who are spiritual. And I don't want to spend too much time taking it too far out of context, but those who are being spiritual, right? We're like, oh, I'm spiritual. Well, wait. He doesn't mean just like, oh, I'm spiritual. Like the universe has this and this and that. No, no, no. There's a lot of quote-unquote spiritual out there. Spiritual means born of the Spirit. Okay? But then there's more than just born of the Spirit. It means also functioning out of the Spirit. Galatians reminds us to be led by the Spirit, right? Not what? Not by the flesh, right? Don't be drunk with wine, but be what? Right, the Spirit is the one who leads us. And so to be born again by the Spirit, we also need to function out of him. Or let him functioning in us. And so there's some times where, again, back to that story about sometimes we share things from our own flesh and we say, well, I'm spiritual. No, you came to Jesus. That doesn't mean in this moment you're being spiritual. Because it doesn't mean you're operating out of the Spirit. You're operating out of yourself. Only the Spirit of God can take true spiritual truths and make you understand things. The natural person can't. Right here, the mind of Christ. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, all of this spiritual discernment and all this spiritual wisdom and all this stuff, we have to have a new mind. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We have to be changed. We have to be made new. And the first place that needs to be made new is your heart, and then it goes to your mind. What controls your mind? Your heart. You say, that's not true. I can think of all kinds of things. Listen, the things you start thinking of are the things that you've set your heart to. You want to know who you worship? Start looking at your stuff. Start looking at your checkbook. Start looking at the time you spend. Start looking at all that kind of stuff. It'll show you what you worship, but it'll actually show you what's in your heart, because whatever's in your heart is what you set your mind to. And so Paul says we have the mind of Christ. And so what's the difference between the mind of Christ and my mind? The mind of Christ is what actually gives you a divine navigation, right? Because you need your desires to be changed. Because if you just serve your flesh, you're going to follow your flesh, and it's going to lead you to sin and to death. So we need a new mind. You remember when Jesus talks to Nicodemus, and he says, listen, you must be born again, right? And so he's like, well, how can I be born again? He says, you got to be born of the Spirit. You have to be made into a new creation. But here's what he says. We have the mind of Christ. Listen, it's available. It's to those who have Christ Jesus, you have it. The mind of Christ, because he hasn't just made you new, he's made you in him, or he's made you new in him. And so he doesn't make us to be a bunch of different things. He makes us as different people into one body. You're different so we can function like we're supposed to. But you're the same in Christ, and so we should have the same mind. It means the differences are all to unite us. They're all to move forward his plan, his purpose, his calling. And so it's good. Look around. It's good. You want to be different from all these people. Even if you have the same gifting and the same calling, you're still different than all these people. To further his kingdom, to advance his gospel, that's why. So how do we do that? Well, we all have to be of one mind. How are we of one mind? We come to one Savior, and we're born again by that one Savior, and we're walking in one Spirit with one purpose. Here's the problem. We don't function out of the Spirit because we want things to go our way. So often when I hear negative talk or when I hear about these things, it's people, when they talk bad about the church or when they talk bad about other Christians or when they talk about, you know what? Somebody did or said something that they didn't like according to their plan. There's no way they followed God. There's no way that they did this. There's no way that they did that. We were talking about Martha and Mary today in the Next Steps class. And one of the lessons is that Martha sees Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, and instead of examining herself, she puts judgment on Mary. Lord, make her help me. She never once said, well, what's Mary doing? Well, why is Mary not helping me? Why is she sitting at the feet of Jesus? Never once did Martha think of that until Jesus said, listen, she's actually picked what's better. You're stuck with the task instead of being in my presence. That didn't even come to her until Jesus. Because her mind was not set on Christ. Her mind was set on task. Her mind was set on the things she wanted to be known for or the things that she wanted to be praised for. We have issues with all kinds of stuff. If we would just stop, like there's so many people, oh, we got to call out false pastors and false preachers and people are spending their whole life looking for all the stuff that people are doing wrong. If you would just spend your time focused on the Spirit of God, trust me, the wolves will be present. They will be known. They will be called out. They will be dealt with. But if we would just focus on letting the Spirit of God show us, his main function is not for us to call others out. His main function is to renew our minds, to make us like Christ. Remember when the disciples come and he shares this, and the disciples come to the farmer and he says, hey man, didn't you just plant wheat? He's like, but the neighbor, the enemy, like he came and he put all these weeds in the middle of your wheat. So we're going to go tear it all up. Jesus is like, stop. He says, don't be focused on tearing out weeds because you're going to destroy a whole bunch of wheat. Here's the problem. When we live in our flesh, when we operate out of our flesh and our own desires and our own thoughts and our own, well, this is what this means and this is what this means. When we do not function out of the Spirit, we destroy a bunch of wheat. A bunch of people who have been hurt by the church have been hurt because people think that it's their jobs to pull the weeds. It's your job to be wheat. Jesus shares a story of wheat. He says, unless a grain, you know how much a grain is? You ever eat grape nuts? Is that still a thing? Is that still a cereal? Okay. Those tiny little, right? You know, a head of wheat has more than one grain, right? We know that, correct? Okay. Just think of a little grape nut. Jesus says, unless a grain falls off and dies, it won't reproduce. He says, you're that grain. You need to fall off and die and be buried in the earth and be watered so that you can what? So that you can grow and produce what? Heads of wheat. Your job as wheat is not to take out weeds. Anybody got a flower bed that the grass is just taking over? How many of your flowers are destroying the grass? Not a one. Who has to come and take the grass out? You, the master of the garden. Quit focusing on the weeds. Focus on being, listen, focus on being wheat. Not looking for wheat in others, focus on being wheat. Let the gospel transform your mind. He says, we have the mind of Christ. The question is, do you have the mind of Christ? I don't want to just say, oh, I come to church and now I'm different. Listen, I could start going to the mud bogs every weekend and be a different person. I'm not just talking that you're a different person. I mean that you're a different creation. Like you were completely born again. That's what he's calling us to. That only happens when the Spirit of God takes the truth of God, the salvation of Christ, the wisdom of God, Jesus, and applies it to you. And listen to this, and you respond. For those who love him. Listen, you have to respond. When he calls you out, you've got to respond. Oh, I love Jesus. I'm just going to keep it quiet. How many of you love your kids? Most of the time. Just it'll go most of the time. Right? Put your hands up. How many of you are willing to say, man, I love my kids? Not very many of you. Right, how many of you are not afraid to tell the whole world that you love your kids? How many of you are afraid to tell the world that you love Jesus? Oh, I'm not afraid. Well, that'll be put to the test. You'll get an opportunity, I promise you. I promise you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. God gives us an opportunity as he reveals himself and he reveals his word to us. He gives us an opportunity to respond to that. So I want to take a moment before I send Brandon, to go get the noisemakers. We need to take a moment and see if there's anything we need to respond. And so as you're sitting there praying, as you're sitting there, maybe the Lord's already showing you something and you need to respond. Maybe you need to respond publicly. Maybe some of you are like, man, I trusted in God, but I've walked away. I've this and I've that and I've that. And I just, you know what? I just need to get to following Jesus again. Some of you have been just messing around like, I thought I was saved, but I'm not. I actually want him to have my whole life. I've never actually died to myself. And so you need to just come to Jesus. Listen, we're getting ready to take communion, and the Bible's very clear. Some of you are sick and dying because you take this inappropriately. You take this in the wrong way. And so we are to take a time to self-examine. And some of you say, well, that sounds harsh. Listen, that's God's word. That's God's warning, but that's also God's promise. And so he says, don't take this in an unworthy manner because this proclaims the Lord's death. This proclaims his shed blood. And so we take this time to just make sure that we are right with God. And sometimes we need to confess, and sometimes we need to share. And so take a moment. I'm going to walk down. I just want you to take a moment and ask the Lord if there's anything that you need to confess publicly, or if there's just anything, maybe you just need to confess to him right now, right where you're seated. So just take this time. Father, we ask that you would just examine our hearts. Holy Spirit, just as you plunge the depths of God, we just ask that you would just impart that wisdom to us. Help us flee the wisdom of this world. Help us flee the wisdom in our own minds and in our own strength, Lord, and depend and call out completely to you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives, with our lives. And so, Father, if there's any confession that needs to be made today, Lord, would you impress that upon their hearts now? Give us a spirit of boldness, of the blessing that comes. Is there anybody here today who needs to make a public declaration? Yeah, stand up. Make it nice and loud. You need to grow more in your faith. Yes. Yes, you want more. Amen. Amen. Who else? Sister, are you asking the Lord to give you that growth? Okay. Yes. A grumbling spirit. Okay. Okay. Are you asking the Lord to deliver you from that? Yes. Okay. Who else? Who else? Amen. He's showing you you're walking in your own flesh. Amen. Who else? Yeah. Amen to that. Praise God for all the work. Yes, and here's the thing. Not to call you out, but the work is doing, the Lord is doing great works in you guys, and we get to enjoy that. That's part of the blessing. We get to see that. And so thank you for being a part. Yeah. You want the Lord to... For the Lord to open doors for you to share the gospel. Okay, yes, yes. Who else? Yes, in the back. Ah, yes. Yes. To bring God center. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I couldn't hear. To keep going. Endurance. Okay. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want to, how many of you have a sin that you've repented of and you don't want to share that sin? You just want to say, listen, I've repented. Yes, who else? Put them up. Put them up high. Hey, you praise the Lord. It's a blessing that he showed you. Father, as we repent, Lord, as we draw near, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, for all these things that have been shared that you're impressing on our hearts, Lord, for us to just truly come to you and just confess and just hand over to you and just to leave at the foot of the cross and ask you to do work that only you could do. We praise you for that work being completed. Lord, your word tells us to walk in the expectation. And so, Lord, help us not to walk out of here in our flesh, but, Lord, to walk in your spirit for your glory. By your finished work, Jesus, for your sake. Amen. Brandon, will you go get the kids? Will you go get the kids? Can we have Derek and Stacy? Can you? I was going to say. Alan and Brandy, you take your hat off. Yeah, Chris and Rich. And then, babe, will you just come up here and help me? Hear that? I'm moving so quick you can hear the wind. Three plates. You can hear them. It's like a tornado coming. Kids are coming. Listen, if you don't have kids back there, you can start making your way forward to come and get the elements and just take them back to your seat so we will take it together, okay? Yeah. Hey, let's switch you to this side that way because we only have three breads. No, you stay on that side. There we go. Will you mute my microphone for a second? All right. How about hallelujah? All right, hallelujah. All right. Rich, you got the prayer. Amen. 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 All right. Cup collector. All right. Hey. Don't leave so quickly. There's some snacks and some coffee and just have some fellowship time. Make sure you enjoy each other's company and just have a good time sharing the love of Christ. Amen? Hey, leadership meeting, we will start at 1:15 in the classroom, okay, in that classroom right over there.